Palestinians. Some estimates have put the number of Palestinians to have been jailed at over 1 million.
Well, on the 22nd November 1974, the United Nations General Assembly recognized the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, national independence, and sovereignty of Palestine. And these jailings of the people of Palestine are in complete contradiction to the UN General Assembly resolution. The Palestinians have a right to resist, they have a right for their homeland, and what we've seen is this systematic jailing of Palestinians. Now, whether the resistance is through the PLO, the PFLP, Hamas, the authority, or individual Palestinians is irrelevant. The relevance is that this is a criminalization, not just of a community, but of a whole nation. The figure of 1 million is shocking when we bear in mind that the population of Palestine currently is estimated at 5 million. That means that 20% of the entire population of a nation has been jailed at one particular time. And this figure in itself is shocking. It's a shocking figure, and it's something that should be rejected, and Palestinian people need to be supported in their legal battle and in their right to a homeland.
The Palestinian Prisoners' Day comes as nearly 550 inmates suffer from various diseases and require close monitoring and health care. At least 10 inmates suffer from cancer of varying degrees, including Fuad al-Shubaki, 82, the oldest of the prisoners. So far, 368 jailed Palestinians have been infected with the coronavirus. Some Palestinians have spent 40 years in captivity, with 543 sentenced to several life sentences. That brings to the spotlight the fact that the regime continues with its violation of Palestinian human rights.
Palestinians have suffered human rights abuses for decades and decades now. It will only stop when Palestinians have the right to return, when Palestinians have their homeland, and when they can legally control their own destiny. At the moment, Palestinians have very few rights, and this is part of the problem that they've been facing for many years now.
But Tel Aviv's violation of rights does not suffice to that. The regime has kept nearly 3 million Gazans under a tight blockade since 2007. As long as the coronavirus pandemic is concerned, the Israeli regime's inhumane practices have led to a state of de-development within Gaza's healthcare system, making it extremely hard for healthcare workers to combat the coronavirus pandemic. In the occupied West Bank, the regime continues with its other violations, including settlement expansions. But why isn't the international community able to put an end to these Israeli crimes?
Well, the situation in terms of Israel-Palestine is part of a global situation. There are vested interests on both sides, and clearly the power resides against the Palestinians. There are many national organizations, international organizations, and nations who are supporting the Palestinian rights, and they should continue to do so until Palestinians get what they deserve under the UN Convention.
Israel has been violating the rights of Palestinians with impunity since day one of its installment in the region by its Western creators. Tel Aviv enjoys full support from the U.S. in particular. No matter which party's candidate wins the race for the White House in U.S. presidential elections, there is an unwritten tradition in the U.S. foreign policy which regards the Israeli regime as a sacrosanct. In line with that tradition, each and every meaningful effort to call Tel Aviv to account at the UN Security Council over its crimes has been aborted by the U.S. that holds veto power at the world body.
The United States announced last week its plan to withdraw all its troops from Afghanistan. In a White House speech, President Joe Biden said it was time to end Washington's longest war in history.
After consulting closely with our allies and partners, with our military leaders and intelligence personnel, with our diplomats and our development experts, with the Congress and the Vice President, as well as with Mr. Ghani and many others around the world, I've concluded that it's time to end America's longest war. It's time for American troops to come home.
Biden said the withdrawal will begin from May 1st and conclude by September 11 this year. Shortly after his announcement, NATO said in a statement that it will coordinate its troops' withdrawal from Afghanistan with the United States.
In the light of the U.S. decision to withdraw, foreign and defense ministers of NATO discussed the way forward today and decided that we will start the withdrawal of NATO Rescue Support Mission forces by May 1st.
The NATO chief said it is now up to the Afghans to reach sustainable peace. But the U.S. government has kept silent about whether it will also withdraw American private contractors conducting operations there.
So on the contractors, we don't know exactly. There's some preliminary plans. Clearly the goal is to get all our personnel out. And I suspect that contractors will be part of that. Whether there'll still be a need for some contractor support, I just don't know. We don't have that level of detail right now. We're still working through that.
The New York Times has cited U.S. officials as saying that the U.S. is planning to continue its presence in Afghanistan by keeping the contractors and operatives in the country following the withdrawal of its troops.
Biden is trying to present himself as a new kind of president. And to do that, he has to make some pretend announcements that things are changing. This is one of them.
So why has the U.S. decided to pull out its forces if it's so keen on keeping its military presence there? Washington-linked private security companies have a long history of committing war crimes and interfering in countries around the world. Perhaps one of the most notorious of the American private contractors is Blackwater, now renamed Academy, which has been involved in several major scandals. The most notable was an incident in 2007 in Iraq when four Blackwater security personnel killed 14 civilians, two of whom children. Former U.S. President Donald Trump exacerbated this scandal by pardoning the contractors in his final days in office. But Blackwater is not the only such American firm that is active in conducting high-level overseas operations.
America has approximately 500 military bases around the planet. It has hundreds of major bases, and then it has hundreds of minor bases. So Afghanistan is just one peg in a worldwide network of military bases that the United States uses to put pressure on different regions to support its political, economic, and social goals as an empire.
Back in May 2020, Venezuela arrested 13 individuals charged with planning an operation in the capital, Caracas, two of whom were American nationals. The U.S. mercenaries admitted that they were arrested during a failed attempt to raid Venezuela's presidential palace and seize President Nicolas Maduro. Considering the controversy surrounding the presence of U.S. private security firms abroad, experts believe Washington seeks a lower level of accountability by reducing the number of its declared troops in countries like Afghanistan.
America is an empire. President Biden is the current administrator of that empire. There's a lot of opposition among the people of America to never-ending so-called forever wars.
What's certain is that the United States is unwilling to leave the region, no matter if that would translate into the privatization of its wars in West Asia.
Proper Nutrition with Brother Sayyid Wahid Alavi in the program The Month of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. This is Sayyid Wahid and welcome to the program The Month of Allah. In the previous programs, we talked about how to eat and the food etiquettes we have according to the narrations, according to Islam. And I will continue with the question how to eat in this program, because it is so important. Now, the things that I want to mention in this program is that after you have eaten, and especially if you have eaten after breaking your fast, the recommendations are that you should lay down on your back and put your right leg on your left foot. And do not fall asleep immediately after you have consumed food. Brushing and cleansing your teeth after food or after eating is a sunnah of the Prophet. This recommendation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam came for 1,400 years ago at a time when no one gave these kind of recommendations. Another thing that you should do is, or should not do, is do not wash your mouth with cold water after especially eating fish. Eat a few dates or some honey after eating fish. Why? Because it takes the or prevents the coldness of the body. Wash the meat if you have a dish or a cuisine that you want to eat that day, which contains meat. You should wash it thoroughly. Do not fall asleep immediately after eating fresh fish. Wash your fruit when you want to eat fruits. That is our recommendation, and especially for today's modern era where we have these non-organic fruits with all kinds of poison on the skin, and it's very important to wash it before you eat those fruits. And this was the topic for today, and I hope that you will join us in future programs about other questions that you put forth, and many ask me about them, and I will try to answer them, inshallah ta'ala. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you. Ramadan Kareem. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
In the limelight. Like all technologies, artificial intelligence or AI requires governance to create an enabling environment and regulatory policies that maximize its benefits. We're prepared for you an article written by Deepali Khanna. The piece is titled Keys to Making AI a Force for Social Good. The article has been published by Asia Times Daily. Please stay with us for more of Deepali Khanna's article. Artificial intelligence systems are shaping the contours of our lives, with applications in agriculture, healthcare, education, transportation, manufacturing, and the media. Artificial intelligence has become as pervasive as the internet itself. While it can significantly improve the well-being of humanity, it also has certain downsides. Reinforcement of human biases, displacement of jobs and industries, and privacy risks. Thus, like all technologies, it requires governance to create an enabling environment and regulatory policies that maximize its benefits and reduce risks. However, artificial intelligence governance poses many challenges. There is no single universal idea of what its goals and outcomes should be. For instance, an aviation safety system seeks to prevent accidents, but artificial intelligence regulators cannot have a similar exclusive aim. Moreover, since artificial intelligence is not a single application, but an underlying technology with diverse uses, terms like good artificial intelligence or bad artificial intelligence are as meaningless as good electricity or bad electricity. Thus, governance must take into account the range of contexts and uses of artificial intelligence. Further complicating matters is the speed with which artificial intelligence learns and evolves, often in ways that are not understood. As our current regulatory models cannot deal with these rapid changes, they might end up stifling innovation and fail to prevent harmful artificial intelligence applications. Confronted with these unprecedented challenges, what must we do? To explore potential roadmaps, we build upon insights shared by industry experts, government officials, leading thinkers and intellectuals and practitioners at two critical events we were part of: the Artificial Intelligence for Social Good Summit and the Innovating Artificial Intelligence Government Symposium. Here's how policymakers can negotiate some of the challenges posed by artificial intelligence governance and harness its transformative potential. While each pilot use case may require a bespoke approach until the consequences of that model are fully realized, here are a few examples. Strategic regulation. To promote innovation, governments must create safe, enabling spaces for experimentation. They can do this by deploying artificial intelligence applications at a limited scale, under the observation of regulators. Such pilot tests can help determine the potential benefits and downsides, and further fine-tune technologies before releasing them in the public sphere through an effective feedback loop. Artificial intelligence localism, the governance of artificial intelligence use within a community or city, can nurture a bottom-up regulatory approach. It allows policies to be adapted to local conditions and the needs of communities, as opposed to a cookie-cutter approach. At the local level, citizens can also closely observe and have more of a say in how artificial intelligence is used. For such regulation to be effective, policymakers must understand the development process of artificial intelligence systems, their strengths and their weaknesses, and the types of data used. They must become more technology literate and form working groups that enable collaboration among regulators, developers, and users. However, in such collaborative efforts, policymakers must regulate acceptable outcomes of artificial intelligence use rather than specific technologies and specific applications. Take the case of artificial intelligence systems that determine if applicants are eligible for a loan or a job. There have been incidents of algorithms discriminating against people based on their race, based on their gender or address. In such cases, governance should find and stem biases rather than regulate the mechanism the artificial intelligence system uses to make decisions. They can do this through peer reviews, with diverse participants who can challenge each other's presumptions and ensure representation of different points of view. Manage job disruptions. While artificial intelligence will create many jobs, it will also upend old ones, which has prompted a pushback against certain technologies. For instance, taxi drivers have lobbied against self-driving vehicles. While various studies show that job losses to automation could be in their millions, quite a few, such as by the World Economic Forum, WEF, also point out that artificial intelligence will create more jobs than it displaces. Thus, policymakers need to address the concerns of those who might lose their jobs and create alternatives such as reskilling, job transition support, and employment guarantees. They must also strengthen social safety nets to cushion the impact of job losses. In the long run, they must overhaul the education system to focus on lifelong learning and helping workers transition rather than preparing them for a single career. Besides, with the development for artificial intelligence workers exceeding the supply, governments will have to develop and retrain talent to capitalize on the artificial intelligence revolution. Nurture artificial intelligence markets. While governments have been investing in research, technologies, and infrastructure to promote artificial intelligence, these measures alone are insufficient. They should further boost the artificial intelligence ecosystem by identifying potential uses of artificial intelligence applications and encouraging prospective customers within and outside the government to adopt them. By becoming a market player and facilitator, governments can create a demand for artificial intelligence applications that contribute to social good. For example, India is setting up a national program for artificial intelligence to incorporate artificial intelligence into government applications and public service delivery, with support from a team of young professionals from the International Innovation Corps. Address privacy concerns. Some regard stronger privacy protections as an impediment to the growth of artificial intelligence, as they could limit data availability. However, that does not have to be the case. For instance, policymakers can safeguard privacy by legislating frameworks to anonymize data. This ensures that sensitive data is available to artificial intelligence applications without compromising the privacy of individuals. Japan has taken this route, with a law permitting research institutions to use the anonymized medical data of patients collected by hospitals. Policymakers can also explore relevant data stewards that can make sensitive data accessible by anonymizing and centralizing it. Such data stewards could ensure proper management and sharing of data with informed consent and requisite permissions from data providers. Global cooperation. The adoption of these strategies to govern artificial intelligence varies across nations. Their socio-economic conditions, access to technology, and ethical approaches determine to a large extent whether they can channel artificial intelligence for social good. Thus, to ensure that artificial intelligence systems create a more inclusive playing field and do not deepen disparities among countries, we require global governance. It could incorporate aspects from models of international cooperation on climate change, on arms control, trade and finance. Just as the Bretton Woods Conference towards the end of the Second World War resulted in new regulatory frameworks and multilateral institutions such as the World Bank, global efforts could address the challenges of artificial intelligence governance. There already are initiatives in this direction. In 2019, for example, the Council of Europe set up an ad hoc committee on artificial intelligence, which is working towards a legally binding international treaty. Last year saw the establishment of the Global Partnership on Artificial Intelligence. The COVID-19 pandemic has further reinforced the need for global cooperation in artificial intelligence. The next step in the evolution of establishing flexible yet robust governance as we transition from principles to practice is the need to work together with a common set of goals to spur inclusive, innovative artificial intelligence and better govern the world of tomorrow, as described in a new report entitled Artificial Intelligence Plus Governance, Bold Action and Novel Approaches.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, other life forms, you are listening to one and only Youth Station, brought to you by IRIB English Radio. I am Zainab, and...
By the way, I'm Mehdi.
Have you ever considered running for election?
Me?
Yeah. No. For like any country
that you're... Oh, I actually have.
Yeah. Any country that you're affiliated
no, no,
with?
No, not country. I have for my... school, but you know, and I lost,
like, class president.
No, it wasn't a class president, it was we had houses like dragons, sharks, eagles and the lions,
like Hogwarts. You're
yeah
lion?
Something like that. So I was like the lions and I wanted to run for the lions and I lost.
Did that damper your ego?
Yeah, I'm not going to run for elections anymore because, you know, people do not recognize talent and, you know, ability. They don't value.
Subhanallah. If I had like a fraction of this man's confidence, I could, never mind running for elections, I could run the world.
You know, people, yeah, don't understand. Yeah,
I know.
They have.
Their limited minds, they cannot fathom.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. The enigma, which is you.
So, yeah.
I'm so glad that you're not running for anything anymore, by the way.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, it would be a waste of talent because I can do much better where I am. What about you? Have you ever done that?
I think about running for president sometimes, but not because I feel like I've got what it takes. Maybe I do. I really don't know. I like politics in general. I like reading about it. I like discussing it. Not that I...
Which is why you should run for president.
Exactly. Because, no, like, bayni wa bayna Allah, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any of these politicians that have been running recently, are they anything more than a bunch of, I'm not going to say the word, who like to casually discuss politics on their yacht or in their, like,
Donald
resorts
Trump was
by Florida?
A president. Can you imagine that?
I can't imagine
wow.
that. I still cannot believe that the world went through 4 years
of Donald
J. Trump.
Yeah.
I still remember watching him on The Apprentice with my brother when I was a kid. You're fired. I wish someone would tell him you're fired. He had to waste our lives for 4 whole years. And that was painful. So that with that said, and like even if you guys haven't picked up from my brother's beautiful accent, he's English. So even what's his name? Boris. The English version of Donald Trump.
Boris.
Yes. Like, why even? Like, why?
Because...
So with these examples, I'm going to just say this and then you totally take the floor. Yeah, with these examples, it brings me to this conclusion that, you know what, maybe I can run for president. I cannot possibly be worse. Seriously, I cannot possibly be worse. I might be able to make some good changes. And obviously the standards are so low, I stand a chance.
Yeah. You know what?
What?
The reason why these people can do what they did is they're good actors.
Oh my God. He cracked the code. I never thought of it that way.
That's, which is why people
should run.
Yeah.
All over again. You have my vote.
No, you know.
And I'll pay people to vote for you. I know people who knew.
But that's the exact thing that I'm going to stand against. Bribery, but you can do that. You know, it's just, that's no, I don't need your support anymore. Anyway. So, yeah, that's probably why the good actors, aren't they? And people get fooled and they get sucked into
But are they, though? I mean, talking about DJ.
DJ?
He did everything he promised. He promised that he's going to be a racist supremacist. He's promised that he's going to ban Muslims. He promised that he's going to make a bloody wall.
He's going to make America great again.
Great in his perception. And the people who support white supremacy, they really feel like, you know what? He was on to something.
Yeah.
He really did the things that he promised.
Yeah.
It's just that the things that he promised were horrible things.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, right.
But I definitely think that... Okay, I don't know. I'm almost certain. I'm not even into conspiracy theories, but I'm pretty sure that DJ bought half of his votes because money talks. But...
But you'd be surprised how many people do agree with this guy.
Again, you're right. But then, you know, how did he make it that far?
Because he's rich.
Exactly. See, money talks.
And money without even buying people. That's the amazing thing about... That's the most horrific
and amazing
thing
about... Just being rich. Oh, he's successful. He's rich. Maybe he'll be a good president.
Yeah, exactly. Without...
Would you? I'm going to give you a list of actors. Tell me. All right, again, Baini Obain Allahi.
Okay.
Would you vote for George Clooney?
I wouldn't vote for any actor.
What? Not even George Clooney?
Why?
Because he's George Clooney.
No.
See, that's the mindset that people have that leads them to... I remember that year that Mitt Romney was running and there was this Chiquita on I don't know what, probably YouTube. And she was one of those, you know, blondes that... I'm not saying blondes or anything wrong with blondes, but I'm pretty sure she wasn't even a natural blonde, but she was like, she was blonde and she was plastic and she was made up. And she was like, I think we like should totally vote for Mitt Romney because like he's attractive and it's about time we have like an attractive person in the office.
No way.
Yes way.
That's crazy.
Yeah. See, this is one of the reasons I think a lot of actors would get votes because they have that actor a profile.
Yeah, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Uh-huh.
He was a senator, wasn't he?
He was a governor.
Yeah. So he wasn't even an actor. Like he was an actor.
Hello, you know? Terminator.
Yeah.
He wasn't good at acting, but doesn't mean he wasn't an actor.
That's what I meant when I said he wasn't an actor. But yeah,
he got their votes.
So do you agree with that? Should that happen?
It depends at the end of the day. Like someone like George Clooney, I didn't just say it because, well, he's George Clooney, but also because he's been active in the political arena for quite a few years. Even Denzel. I'm not sure whether it has anything to do with anything, but these personalities, they've been active for quite a few years. And at this point, I wouldn't be surprised even if Beyonce's husband ran for office.
Didn't he already?
No, that was the other person's husband. I don't know their names exactly, but it was all over the news, and I found it very amusing. Because they have that celebrity status, and they endorse certain politicians, and that, you know, that creates this sort of affiliation between them and the political world, thus giving them the illusion that they can actually run for office.
But imagine
what?
An actor who's morally perfect. Imagine. That's what
imagine.
I said. Imagine.
Imagine. You know, right. Okay. No, I feel you.
So imagine, do you think that that person should run for president?
Again, no. Another reason why I think actors or any artist should run for office, any office, is because they're too emotional. Not in a bad way. They are very in touch with their emotional side. That's why they can act and sing and create art.
What?
And they shouldn't run for office because they're going to get hurt.
Are you serious? They're attached to you. They're too emotional.
No, I'm just throwing this theory out there. I don't necessarily believe in it. I just want to hear you counter it.
Oh, well, that was a good thing that you threw in. Because I don't believe that.
People have that belief toward women as well. Like, women are too emotional. They shouldn't run for any office. They shouldn't govern anything except their homes. Go make me a sandwich, woman.
Oh, the amazing mentality, isn't it?
I know.
I love those people. You know, they're actually on the right path.
They actually are. You can't lie. You're fasting.
So, I don't know. If they're that emotionally attached, they can't change those emotions and just bend them and just become someone else in a different character and mold into a different character in a different movie if they're that emotionally attached to whatever side they have. You know,
they're not supposed to be, though. I mean,
you know, they're supposed to be blank. They're an empty paper, and the director writes everything.
That's more reason not to endorse an actor.
You know, I actually,
that's more reason not to endorse an actor. I mean, like, dude, get your facts straight. Who are you? Even?
Exactly. Yeah, you know. So we don't know whom we're voting for because we don't
which
know
character?
You. Yeah, exactly. Who exactly are you?
So which person in which movie are you exactly right now, George?
Yeah.
I hope it's Fantastic Fox, that character. I would vote for Mr. Fantastic Fox any day. Please tell me you've watched Fantastic Fox.
I have not watched that movie.
Your life. Please tell me you've watched Mr. Fantastic Fox.
I have not watched
Mr. Actually, it's the Fantastic Mr. Fox. You should reevaluate your life choices.
Yeah, I should.
Promise
me
you'll watch it. Your baby will enjoy it too.
Oh, no.
She
enjoys... letting us not enjoy letting us enjoy anything is her enjoyment, so she's probably gonna enjoy everything.
She's definitely your daughter. Apples and trees,
that's what they say.
So and I would vote for Fantastic Mr. Fox's character. For those who've watched it, for those who haven't, it's directed by Wes Anderson, I think. Because he possessed a certain je ne sais quoi to him, a certain quality of let's get things done, right? If you watch the cartoon, you'll see that there's no such thing as a dead end for a fox. Because he actually literally hits rock bottom in his cage with his pregnant wife. And then he's like, what are we doing? What are foxes best at? And they start digging like crazy and they save their... set themselves.
Yeah, but that mentality solely isn't sufficient because apparently Donald Trump had that mentality.
Did he really?
Let's get things done. He was actually doing those things, wasn't he?
Well, he did get things done.
Yeah, he did get things done.
See, the mentality itself is valuable, but it depends on what kind
where it's channeled.
Exactly, where it's channeled.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you're right. But
you know, it's like the knife. Whether it's like a knife. If it's in the hands of a surgeon or the hands of a serial killer.
Mm-hmm. Who's a surgeon? I just twisted everything.
I know. That was a good plot twist. And another reason why actors shouldn't become politicians is because they really don't know about the ABC, the ropes, the fundamentals of politics. But at the other hand, because they don't have experience, They spend their entire lives getting awards. When did you learn about politics, man?
For example, there are actors who have to get into the correct character. And in order for them to be in that character, they need to study a lot, you know, and find out the background of what happened. For example, if they're in a movie, a historic movie, they have to
get Christian Bale would be a good president then. He does a lot of method acting. And the other guy.
But he's not there anymore.
Wait. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm.
He would be a good actor, too. A good president.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves
would be the president.
But I would vote for Keanu Reeves any day.
You know?
Any day.
But I still won't, because I still don't know who he is. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you know.
I don't know who Keanu
is. Actually, from what I've heard about him and read about him on social media and on other websites, you know, he probably is a woke person. That's what I've come across.
Yeah, he's very woke.
You know? What does woke mean? Could you elaborate?
You don't know what it means, or people might not know. Everyone knows what woke means.
Okay, then
we'll talk later after the show. All right. But the other thing about actors is that they'd be really good at convincing people, because that's literally their job.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that could get them the votes. And again, the actor status, the celebrity status. But at the end of the day, I still have mixed feelings about whether actors or any entertainer in that sense should run for any sort of position in office. Because I don't trust them.
Yeah, same.
Right?
Same, yeah.
Yeah. We actually agreed on something.
Yeah,
this is a milestone. This should go down in history. And this is all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. Thank you so very much for being with us. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Go vote. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong. Because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
A white sheriff's deputy in the San Francisco Bay Area shot and killed a black man in the middle of a busy intersection about a minute after trying to stop him on suspicion of throwing rocks at cars last month, newly released video shows. The graphic body camera video footage shows Andrew Hall shooting Tyrell Wilson, a 33-year-old, within seconds of asking him to drop a knife on 11th of March this year in Danville, California. The article you're about to hear has been written by staff at the British newspaper The Guardian. The piece is titled, "California Officer Charged in Previous Shooting Kills Black Man at Intersection, Video Shows." Stay with us for more of the article by The Guardian. White sheriff's deputy in the San Francisco Bay Area in California shot and killed a black man in the middle of a busy intersection about a minute after trying to stop him on suspicion of throwing rocks at cars last month, according to a newly released video. The graphic body camera footage shows Andrew Hall shooting Tyrell Wilson, a 33-year-old, within seconds of asking him to drop a knife on 11th of March this year in Danville, California. The video footage was released on Wednesday, 21st of April, 2021, the same day prosecutors charged Andrew Hall with manslaughter and assault in the fatal shooting of an unarmed civilian more than 2 years ago, and intensified criticism of local prosecutors for not taking a quicker decision in the 2018 killing. The video released this week shows Andrew Hall calling out to Tyrell Wilson and walking towards him as Wilson walks away. Tyrell Wilson eventually turns to face the deputy holding a knife and says, "Touch me and see what's up." As they stand in the intersection, Andrew Hall asks him three times to drop the knife as Tyrell Wilson motions towards his face saying, "Kill me." Andrew Hall shoots once and Wilson drops to the ground as drivers watch and record video. The entire confrontation lasts about a minute. An attorney for Tyrell Wilson's family released another video on Thursday, 22nd of April, taken by someone stopped at the intersection. "It doesn't seem like he was doing anything," someone says. The attorney, John Burris, said Andrew Hall was unnecessarily aggressive towards Tyrell Wilson, who was not causing any problems and was backing away from the deputy before he was shot without warning. "This is a homeless man. He's walking away, minding his own business. He's basically saying, 'Go away, leave me alone,'" the attorney John Burris said, "but you felt compelled to kill him." Contra Costa County Sheriff David Livingston said the videos showed Tyrell Wilson was threatening Andrew Hall and was possibly throwing rocks at drivers. "He did threaten Officer Hall," Livingston said, "and he did start advancing towards the police officer Andrew Hall in the middle of a major intersection. Police officers are forced to make split-second decisions to protect themselves and the public, and that's what happened in this case." The attorney John Burris also represents the family of Lordimer Arboleda, a 33-year-old Filipino man shot 9 times by Andrew Hall during a slow-moving car chase in 2018. Deputies slowly pursued Arboleda through the city of Danville, California, after someone reported a suspicious person in November of 2018. Sheriff's Department video shows Andrew Hall stopping his patrol car, getting out, and running towards the car Arboleda was driving. Police officer Andrew Hall opened fire and kept shooting as Arboleda's car passed by, striking him at least 9 times. Hall testified at an inquest that he was afraid that Arboleda would run him over. The Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office this week brought criminal charges against police officer Andrew Hall, a rare occurrence in police shootings. The office said it charged Andrew Hall with felony voluntary manslaughter and felony assault with a semi-automatic firearm in that shooting incident. Officer Hall used unreasonable and unnecessary force when he responded to the in-progress traffic pursuit involving Lordimer Arboleda, endangering not only Mr. Arboleda's life, but the lives of his fellow police officers and citizens in the immediate area, the district attorney Diana Becton said in a news release. attorney John Berris said both Tyrell Wilson and Lordimer Arboleda were mentally ill. Police officer Andrew Hall's attorney Harry Stern said prosecutors previously deemed the deputy's use of force in the 2018 case as justified. The timing of their sudden reversal in deciding to file charges seems suspect and overtly political, Hall's attorney Harry Stern said.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Forty recommendations by Imam Khamenei for the journey towards God. Let it sink in. Reciting the Holy Quran is a great virtue and very rewarding. But this recitation is a means to acquire knowledge. The Holy Quran is like a vast ocean. The more you advance, the more you get interested and your hearts become illuminated. It is necessary to reflect on the Holy Quran. I ask you, dear youth, again to become familiarized with the meanings of the Holy Quran and understand its translation. I have asked this of the youth time and again and many have taken action. When you read the Holy Quran on a daily basis, review the translation of what you have read too. Let the meaning sink in your fresh minds, then you will find yourself reflecting on them.
فيك الحب زاد عم العباد يا خير زاد رمضان يا شهر القرآن فيك أذوق حلاوة الإيمان لا لا تنقضي أن رمضان 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 يا حبيب رمضان رمضان ليتك دوما قريب
We still have a long way to go. The Holy Quran is a book of knowledge, salvation, well-being, growth, and development, and a book of closeness to God. When would we obtain these characteristics from the Holy Quran, my dear brothers? Is it enough to carry the Holy Quran with ourselves? Is it enough to pass under it when leaving to travel? Is it enough to attend Quran recitation sessions? Is it enough sufficient to recite the Holy Quran beautifully, or to listen to a beautiful recitation and enjoy it? No. There is another ingredient needed. What is it? This is reflection on the Holy Quran. You need to reflect on the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has repeatedly asked us to reflect on it. My dear ones, if we learn to get close to the Holy Quran through reflection and contemplation, then we will obtain all the characteristics I mentioned. We still have a long way to go, so we need to keep going.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Reporters.
Despite the lockdown and curfew, thousands took the streets in Paris to protest against the reform of the social security system. The main reform concerns unemployed people who will receive less unemployment benefits. They will suffer an average loss of 20%, and some will even lose 45% of their unemployment compensation, meaning 300 euros less by month. Many will not be able to pay their rent. The demonstrators blame the French government for taking advantage of the COVID crisis to accelerate anti-popular measures.
Those who will be sanctioned by this reform are those who already suffer the most from the decrease in the work volume due to the COVID crisis. All the vulnerable workers who already lost their job and who are not financially supported by the government will become unemployed and will be affected by this reform. Yes, the government takes advantage of the crisis and pushes for unjust reforms.
Cultural workers made the demonstration very lively. They are paying a heavy price due to the outbreak of the COVID-19.
Today, people who work in the cultural sector often return to their parents and have no income anymore. Since more than 1 year, we don't work, we don't earn money, and the government does not propose any solution to us. Culture is part of the freedom of expression. Only the big shows financed by the state will survive, and the others will disappear.
Billions are given to big companies, 500 billion euros. At the same time, these companies fire workers. How is it possible that this government is making the shareholders richer instead of helping the population?
Indeed, the French stock exchange market has reached a very high level with more than 6,000 points. The 40 biggest French companies are doing very well since the COVID crisis, but the majority of the population does not benefit from this. More than 100 symbolic cultural places like the Odeon Theatre are occupied since weeks, with protesters vowing to continue demonstrations until their demands are met.
The COVID crisis will inevitably lead to loss of jobs for many workers. Also, if unemployment benefits are affected, these workers will be punished twice. Chris Denant, Paris.
Much of America breathed a sigh of relief when the cop who killed George Floyd was convicted of murder. A not guilty verdict was widely expected to have set off deadly rebellions on the scale of 1968 when Martin Luther King was assassinated, or 1992 when cops were acquitted in the Rodney King beating case. But across the country, there's a feeling